during the school holidays, a lot of people, well, certainly when the potato picking time came round, you spent your time going round lifting tatties.
Yeah.
Hay making, if you were in with a farmer, you could go down and help. I used to help out in that, and there was always sort of wee jobs that they needed.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Just labour for, you know. I remember Wolf Nickel, who had Dalnagearn farm.
Okay.
He started growing raspberry canes at one time. It was a different enterprise for anybody else. Nobody else did it, but he grew these canes. He must have sold them on to the rasp growers in Blair. But anyway, I can remember one summer, he employed squads of us to go and weed them, hand weed them. You're on your hands and knees pulling weeds out from these plants. I don't think it could have been a very failed enterprise, I think. But you knew all the farmers.
Right, yeah.
So there was, I mean, when you think about the farmers at that time, you knew them all, and you just went round the various places.
So you would, you are you saying that
you wouldn't
work
get paid? You're not necessarily getting paid, you went along, helped out. You
were
things like harvest time, such like, there was always things to do. And of course, as you got older, you would maybe get a job where you got a few quid, well, shillings it would be at that time, or other pounds. But
I spoke to a few people and they were saying like the tatty planting and the tatty picking and stuff like that. You would, that might be your money for like your school.
Oh yeah, well the tatty planting, as you say, you never got holidays for tatty planting, but always the weekends if you got a job with tatty planting, that was
right.
That wasn't. I mean, we really don't talk about 2 or 3 weekends because tatties were in, you know, within a period of a month.
Yeah.
Neep thinning, that was another job that you could.
Okay, what would that be like?
Well, turnips, in those days, they were sowed in the drill. You know, are you with me? You made a drill and they had what's called a neep barrow that went along and sowed seeds on top of the drill. But it wasn't the precision seeders that they've got nowadays, there was just a row of seeds. So when the turnips grew, you'd have to single them out so that each had a proper growing space.
Okay.
And you'd have, you had a clat, that's a good word. I remember when I moved to Perth, I went into an ironmongers. I'm digressing here now. I said, I want a clat. And the guy looked at me and had to explain. I discovered that it's called a draw hole in proper circles.
Right.
But you know what I mean? It was a right angled.
Okay.
Bit of metal at the end, like a rake, only solid.
Right.
And you went along, you got into the rhythm, and it was forward and back. And the secret was to be able to leave one single turnip with its roots still embedded.
Uh-huh.
And of course, it took a wee bit of practice, so, you know.
Yeah.
Once you got reasonable at, you were quite valuable. But there's quite a few folk got hunted because they were missing wood and got. But
torn out all the roots.
That, again, that was a sort of agricultural job that really maybe a couple of weekends, early summer rather than spring. What's other sort of things did you do? Well, the haymaking, of course.
Okay.
In these days, the haymaking, there was no balers. You had the hay was cut and left to dry, and sometimes it had to be turned. You know, well, normally they turned it at least once, and not everybody had a. Nowadays, there's implements for turning it, or shaking it up, or whatever before it's baled. But a lot of it was turned by hand. I can remember going down a field and getting shown how to turn this over with a pitchfork. And then once it had dried, it wasn't picked up and baled, it was raked and gathered together and built into coals, which were just small stacks. And that would be left in the coals and obviously would be quite high to me, but probably they were only about 7 feet, 6 feet. And then I had a boss inside, which is just a triangular framework.
Okay.
Which, so inside, there was always air inside, and this allowed the hay to dry.
Right, yeah.
Before it was eventually taken down and taken away into the farmyard, where it would be built in proper hay stacks, if you like, for when it was used. That was all labour intensive. Nowadays, they just run down with a baler and it's stacked and that's it, finished with.
That was something as well. I mean, that's what you remember as being quite an act. Do you remember the whole area being quite, how could I say, like, agricultural? That was where most people were employed, would you say?
Yes.
In labouring.
As far as the village is concerned, the major employers was on the land, farming. Mm. But when I start to think about this, I can't think of many farms that employed people, because they were all fairly small. Like the bigger estates, they had farms
on
them.
You mean like sort of full-time? Do you mean they might take people on?
Well, when I think about the village, around about the village, the ones that we knew, there was Jim Small, who had Carmichael Farm, and he was the local dairy. He kept milking cows. And Jim worked that ground himself. He would plough bits and he would have, corn. I can remember two or three corn fields in his, but it must have been just after the war. But they would do fields of daddies, neeps, and corn, or oats as it's commonly known. And I always thought of corn when you were a kid, it was just corn, because very few folk grew wheat or barley up there.
Right.
It was only afterwards that I can remember seeing a field of barley up the glen. I was quite older, quite a bit older by that time. But it was always oats that they grew. That was Jim Small. And he kept three or four milking cows, and that's where the village got their milk. We live next door, so you would be sent round with this 2-pint jug to get your milk.
Yeah.
No bottles, uh-huh. But eventually he got modernised and he had this, he got a milking machine in and they bottled their milk.
Right, yeah.
And it was all naturally done by hand, but the milk came out of the byre round and it was poured into this contrivance, which is just a bucket, and the milk filtered down over a thing like an old washboard. And
right.
It cooled it, and then there was spaces for three bottles, and it was all, you watched it, and when it filled up, you put a foil top on it, and there was a machine to clamp it down. That was just a thing that pushed it on, and that was great strides forward, because you got your milk in bottles these days.
Okay, yeah.
But it must have been certainly up to about, I don't know when that would happen, 47, 48. Maybe later than that. Oh, it must have been after 47 or 48, because we didn't have electricity until then.